Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Piyayam burada, piyayam orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Across the country, young undocumented immigrants are revealing their immigration status on Facebook and other social media. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds. These young activists are making their status public as a tactic to push for immigration reform. With me to talk about them and the bills they support are two Feet in Two Worlds journalists. Ashwini Anbarajan is a freelance radio producer and blogger here in New York. Hi, Ashwini.
Hi, John.
And Valeria Fernandez is a freelance radio, TV, and print reporter. She joins us on the phone from her home base in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Valeria.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
Ashwini, these young activists have done something that their parents, who brought them to the U.S. illegally, would probably never consider. They're publicly revealing their immigration status as a political tool to push for immigration reform and to organize immigrants who are targeted by state immigration laws. How is this strategy working?
It's working incredibly well, John. These young immigrants are called Dreamers. They have been pushing for the federal passage of the DREAM Act, which is a law that would allow students to become legal residents if they were brought by their parents at a young age to the United States, and it goes up to people that are about 36 years old. It's been in Congress for the past 10 years. They came very close to passage last year, and it failed in the Senate. And what had happened is that the organizing or by the youth to get that passed on the federal level had brought them together on social media in a way that had been unprecedented. It really linked these groups across the country, and the momentum built from that. So even though the bill failed, the momentum generated by these youth gathering together, building communities online, they've taken those organizing tools to the state level to push for state-by-state versions of the DREAM Act, largely for access to in-state tuition, which they don't have access to right now because they are not considered legal residents within their states.
And what are some of the states that are specific targets of this effort?
So right now, we've seen bills in about five states. There's Maryland, Connecticut, Illinois, New York, California are states with pro-DREAM Act bills.
Valeria, in Arizona, where you're located, it's really the epicenter of state efforts to restrict undocumented immigrants. Yet you've reported in the past for Feet in Two Worlds and elsewhere that even in Arizona, young undocumented immigrants are revealing their status and getting involved in political organizing. Aren't they taking a huge risk?
They are taking a huge risk because in Arizona, we have a lot of our local authorities and police, the figure of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, enforcing a number of state laws to arrest undocumented immigrants. So it is taking a chance, it is taking a risk, but when you talk to them, they feel that actually becoming public about their immigration status protects them, because they are bringing to themselves a lot of media attention, and that's not something that the local police or the sheriff's office is going to want to do, you know, to go and arrest one of these kids that are becoming public figures. So in a way, becoming public about their immigration status and more active is actually protecting them.
So a little over a year ago, Arizona's law SB 1070, which is probably known as one of the strictest anti-immigrant laws in the country, was signed into law. And the intention of its supporters was to encourage undocumented immigrants to leave Arizona. But in fact, what's happened, it sounds like, is some of these undocumented young people have not only decided to stay, but to reveal their status as a political act.
Yes, ironically, SB 1070 had like a opposite effect, especially in undocumented students that, you know, were fighting for the DREAM Act here in Arizona. A lot of them decided to come out, to become public with their status, and to get involved not only in pushing for passage of the DREAM Act at the federal level, but locally become leaders in committee groups and organizing efforts to teach other immigrants, undocumented immigrants, about their rights in light of SB 1070.
Valeria, as I understand it, there are now bills going through the Arizona State Legislature that, unlike the DREAM Act, and in contrast to the DREAM Act, would actually make it more difficult for undocumented immigrant students to attend state colleges and universities. And this has become the focal point for the organizing by these DREAMers.
It's exactly what the DREAMers are having to do here in Arizona is organized in opposition to the measures the state is trying to pass, and it's already implemented. So it's a movement mostly for resistance against these bills. We have for several years one bill that forces undocumented students to pay out-of-state tuition, and they're trying to expand that even more. Of course, Arizona is not the only state. We know that recently the governor of Alabama signed a bill that will ban undocumented students from attending college and universities. And there's something similar going on in Georgia. Students are organizing there as well, and it's a movement of resistance.
On the other end of the spectrum, New York is considering one of the most ambitious state versions of the DREAM Act. Ashwini, tell us about what the New York law would do.
The New York law is incredibly ambitious. It would essentially make students that are undocumented legal residents within the state of New York. They could work for any corporation. They would have equal access to health care, in-state tuition. They would have driver's licenses. So they would be in the state of New York itself, living like anybody who had a green card or was a U.S. citizen.
Ashwini, despite efforts in New York State to pass a state DREAM Act, it's the federal government that confers citizenship. And it's the federal government that has the sole responsibility for even conferring legal status. So there's a limit to how far any state can go, and there's a limit to how far these activists can go in achieving their goals working on a state-by-state level.
There's no question about that. I mean, what you're seeing right now in Utah, for example, which just passed a major immigration law, they're asking DHS to provide a waiver just within the state of Utah to provide legal working status for undocumented people, not just youth. But at the end of the day, it requires the federal government, and I would say that there's no federal will at this point.
Now, you spoke to one of the supporters of the New York DREAM Act. Tell us about her.
Tanya Matos is a legislative coordinator for the New York State Youth Leadership Council. They have been organizing actively for the DREAM Act, and she talks a little bit about what this bill would mean in the state of New York for her and students like her.
I truly believe that as immigrants and as human beings that belong in this society, we have a right to remain. Because this is where we grew up, this is where our families are, this is where we've created a community, and we contributed to this community, so we feel we have a right to remain. What we're asking for, we also feel, is a basic right to many people, including undocumented people, where if the New York DREAM Act passes, we would have a right to work. Equal access to state-funded health insurance, equal access to state-funded financial aid, as well as access to grants and scholarships. Also equal access to a New York State driver's license. So we know the session is going to end very soon in a matter of days. So we know the bill is not going to come up for vote in this session, but we hope to have lots of support by the end of the year so that it can be brought up again in January.
Ashwini, in your conversation with Tanya Matos, you also talked about the role that Facebook and Twitter and other social media are playing in the organizing effort. What did she have to say about that?
This is how they're finding their members. This is how people are coming online. This is a way that they can have a national bullhorn without spending any money. And that's what they've been able to do with social media.
For instance, a little earlier this year, we had a rally called a Coming Out Rally. And it was a coming out undocumented, unafraid, and unapologetic. And so we were Twittering about the event, and we were going to go live on Ustream. And we actually had Senator Gillibrand retweet that, and that made a huge splash for us. And that really helped our movement and have more exposure to other Twitter feeds and political activists.
It's a tool to bring these individuals together. It's a tool to get media coverage, and it's a way to get national attention and the attention of their legislators.
Valerie was talking earlier about the risk to DREAM Act activists of revealing their immigration status online and even at state legislative hearings. In states like New York, Connecticut, Maryland, when these young people reveal their status, are they also running a certain risk, even though they are in states that are more sympathetic to undocumented immigrants?
I think there's always a risk, but I would say that the risk of deportation is very minimal. The reason being is that the Department of Homeland Security and the Obama administration have said that they're going to try to not deport people that would be eligible for legal residence under this bill. And I think Valeria made a point earlier saying that it's harder to deport someone when they're saying, I'm here, I'm working, I'm trying to be a contributing member of society, I want to go to college. The public relations spectacle that comes with trying to deport someone like that makes it much harder. And for those reasons, I think that they are quote-unquote safe. But there is an issue of harassment. And I think that what from speaking to some of the students who have come out online, there's always the threat that they're getting harassing email messages, they're getting stalked online, they're facing it's much more from other individuals rather than from any kind of government body.
So these are perhaps anti-immigrant activists who are harassing them.
Yes.
This whole use of social media and this move by young undocumented people to reveal their status really marks a new tactic in the battle for immigration reform and immigration rights. And Valeria, I wonder, how has that reshaped the immigration rights or the immigrant rights movement in Arizona?
Well, what the immigrant rights movement has done is embrace this youth. They have welcomed them into the movement, and you see them embedded in different organizations. You know, there's a number of human rights organizations, and they are part of that. So you see them in press conferences participating. When they have actions, you know, they organize walkouts. The other groups are coming in support. So I think the human rights movement here in Arizona sees that this is new blood, that these kids have a new capacity for organizing. They're really at the forefront with new ideas, and they're embracing that, and they're incorporating them in the movement because they know that that is injecting them with energy. Just one more thing I want to say. They're not only coming out about their immigration status, but sometimes they're doing actions of civil disobedience in which they're stepping up their game because they are risking being arrested by the police and being sent to an immigration detention center. And we've seen that happen with some civil actions here. The offices of Senator John McCain. And the kids that came were from all over the country, coming here to Arizona to do acts of civil disobedience in support of the DREAM Act and also against SB 1070. And I think that's also a very, very interesting tactic because they're saying, we're putting everything on the line. We're willing to get deported for these costs.
And so there have been arrests, and have there been deportations as well?
Not because of the civil disobedience, but we're still seeing, because of all the enforcement of immigration laws by our local police, we're seeing day after day undocumented students being detained and sent to detention centers. And there's a number of local fights to keep this youth from being deported. So even though the Obama administration has said that they're not making them a priority, that these are not the kind of people that they want to deport, there's still a number of cases here locally of youth that are struggling to stop their deportation from happening. And this started just by a simple traffic stop.
And Valeria, we've been talking mostly about this state-by-state effort. I wonder to what degree the actions of people in Arizona or New York or wherever are informing the national debate and the push for Congress to enact a national DREAM Act.
Well, I mean, President Obama has said that that's something that he supports, but like Joanne was saying, it's been 10 years that this bill has been introduced and reintroduced, and we were close to that last year, and it didn't happen. So it's difficult to say how much this state push is going to move Congress to act. We saw with SB 1070 that the federal government filed a lawsuit, but we haven't seen yet the federal government really take the leadership to do something about immigration. So I think what we're going to see, at least in the next couple of years, is the state going in all these different directions until finally I think the federal government realizes, oh, we have way too many different policies going from one state to state. You know, if you move to California, you can go to school. If you live in Arizona, you can't. Eventually, I think the federal government is going to feel the need to have uniformity in all these immigration laws in the country.
Valeria Fernandez is a freelance radio, TV, and print reporter in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you, Valeria.
Thank you.
And Ashwini Anbarajan is a freelance radio producer and blogger here in New York. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks for having me, John.
The producers for this podcast are Sarah Kate Kramer, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Dimple Patel. The engineer is Chad Bernhard. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation and the Cyrus Fund. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org.